Oh, God, no, no, no. Where are you? Our disasters in life look like the backside of an embroidered cloth. It is a confusing, ugly tangle, and it makes zero sense whatsoever. I listened to a preacher who, after 19 years, gave up the faith because, according to him, God was not a loving God. He saw children suffer and parents pleading with God, but the child died. How can a God of love do such a thing, was his rhetoric. Dear Lord, thank you for that man stirring us to seek your guidance on that. Please give us a clear answer, as devastating situations like these and natural disasters have been a stumbling block for others too. And then we say to you, why did you allow this, God? What's wrong with you? I prayed, but you didn't answer my prayers. You said, ask and you shall receive. Well, I did not receive, so I'm no longer believing in you. And that's it. We throw in the towel and surrender our faith. But if at times like this, we can find it in us to retreat and hide in God's word, it will pull us through. Our faith will increase if we absorb, hold on, and cling to his word for dear life and our only sanity. I cried out to the Lord many a time. When I went through my divorce, I went in a tailspin, and it shattered me completely in thousands of pieces. For years, I could not see the light. I could not fight my way out of that black hole of depression. I was stuck. Believe me, I cried out to the Lord many times, but it was not until I started to forgive, repent, and apologize for holding a grudge not only against people but also against the Lord that things changed. Instead, I began thanking the Lord for counting me worthy to give me such a big test to see what I was made of. That is when he started putting me back together, slowly, piece by piece, so he could work on changing my self-righteous, willful character. Eventually, I became thankful for him lovingly gluing me back together. Yet, I am far from having attained. One scripture that helped and pulled me through was Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or no. If I grumble, and God knows I can, I'm lost. Molehills become mountains, incidents, disasters, and I become unbearable for myself and others. I think I'm learning that if I'm thankful for everything in my life, for the positive, but also the negative incidents, and say, thank you for this test, Lord, I honestly mean it, and I'm not being sarcastic, then it doesn't affect me half as much. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Her newborn had died. A female pastor talked to me about her newborn that had just died, and she was utterly devastated, wondering if God was still love or even listening. Because I went through the ringer myself, I was able to hear from the Lord for her and comfort her. It was clear that with the short lifespan, the baby had fulfilled his mission. It was to bring his mother the most beautiful gift that she would never forget. The Lord had used the newborn to place his anchor deep into the mother's heart, so she would know at all times that she was one of the Lord's queens and that the Lord placed his hook into her soul to strengthen their direct bond and line with each other. It radically changed the outlook about the baby's death from a disastrous calamity to a precious gift from her king, which he then accepted gracefully with tears flowing and thanksgiving. The Lord is close to them that have a broken heart and saves those with a soft and contrite spirit. Psalms 34:18. Am I the only one that is tested like this? Sometimes the Lord will test our tenacity to see if we stay faithful to him. People have lost children throughout the ages, believers and non-believers. But not all the parents and their pastors have turned bitter against God. It broke them, that is for sure. But from those broken pieces, the Lord could rebuild their character, richer, softer, and more understanding of others. Why don't you curse God and die? If you download a Bible for your CP or laptop, you will find the life story of Job. He was a wise, rich, generous man, and Satan was allowed to test him. He lost his children, then his cattle, and his houses. To top it off, he got boils all over his body from head to toe. He scraped himself with a broken piece of ceramic and sat down in the ashes of his burnt property. If that was not enough, his wife told him, "Do you still retain your integrity? Curse God and die." But Job said, "You speak as one of the foolish women. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God and not evil?" Talk about disasters. Job lost everything except his body, and that completely covered in boils. Job had three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, who came to see him. They tell him that suffering is a result of sin. Job is not impressed and says, "No doubt, but you are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. Oh, that you would altogether be quiet, and it should be your wisdom. Though God slay me, yet will I trust him." His friends give more counsel, but Job is a tough cookie and says, "I've heard it before. Miserable comforters you are, but God knows, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. For God is softening my heart. As God lives, who has vexed my soul, as long as I can breathe, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit." Job says, "Look, I was eyes to the blind, feet to the lame, I was a father to the poor. Unto me man gave ear, waited, and kept silence at my counsel. But now God has cast me into the mire." Then Elihu, a young man who was listening to all this, speaks to Job. He says, "I'm young, but you are very old, and I was afraid to give you my opinion. I have heard your words saying, 'I am clean, without transgression, I am innocent, neither is iniquity in me. See, God has it in for me, he counts me as enemy.' You speak a lot against God. Do you think that's right, that you said my righteousness is more than God's? Please listen, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God." It looks like Elihu struck a chord in Job's heart to finally listen to the Lord. After this, the Lord started speaking and answered Job out of the whirlwind. "Now gird up your loins like a man, stop whining. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Explain it, if you're that good and smart. Can you send lightning? Have you given the horse its strength? Does the hawk fly by your wisdom?" Then Job said, "Look, I'm despicable. I will put my hand over my mouth." The Lord answered, "Will you condemn me so that you may be righteous?" And Job said, "I uttered that I understood not. I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." This acknowledgement was the key turning point. The Lord told Job to pray for his three friends, probably, so he wouldn't be bitter against them. And when he had prayed for them, the Lord turned Job's trouble around and he gave Job twice what he had before. And he blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, with double the number of sheep, camels, oxen, and she-asses. He also had seven sons and three extremely beautiful daughters. After this, Job lived 140 years, and he lived to see his great-great-grandchildren. Job died being full of days. Job lived shortly after the flood, which was 2501 BC, as after the flood, people's lives started slowly lessening. For instance, Abraham was 175 years old when he died around 2016 BC. The Bible is full of people's accounts that hung on. Naomi and family left Israel because of a drought. Her husband and her two sons died. She went back to her hometown a broken woman. Only Ruth, one of her daughters-in-law, stuck to her like glue. However, Naomi hung on and did not curse God. In turn, the Lord inspired Naomi to matchmake Ruth, who became the great-grandmother of King David. Just like we cannot see any rhyme or reason in the backside of an embroidered cloth, but if we could see the other side, then we could see the beautiful tapestry that the Lord is weaving in our lives. The Lord is so fond of each individual that He wants to build our character so that we can experience life in the fullest way possible, with the result that the overwhelming waves of our temporary difficulties and disasters will no longer drown us, but that we will thrill with the joy of being able to ride them on the surfboard that He gives us, if we'll thank Him for whatever He brings our way. But we can also curse Him. God has given us that freedom of choice, to bless or to curse, to reach out or to turn our back on Him. Those decisions are our prerogative. Yet, if we can thank Him for the storms of life, they will no longer be able to blow us to pieces. But instead, they will carry us up as the eagles soar high on the opposing winds. All these positive character traits God knew we could not acquire on our own. That's why we have His Word and why Jesus came to show us how to live, to love, to forgive, to heal, to hold on through shock and not give up. Still, I'd like to ask God a thing or two. God, do you have any idea how it feels to be a refugee child fleeing from insane killings? To go without food for more than a month? To be a rough sleeper and be homeless? To be a freedom fighter betrayed by a close friend? To be different so they spit and punch in your face? To be a black slave whipped mercilessly? To be framed for one of the cruelest 6 hours long antagonizing death sentences while you only helped people and spoke the truth? Please answer me. I gave my one only son, who was my embodiment in human form, and He went through all this to show you our true character. We know what pain is. Though Jesus is God, He was also 100% human and could have given up many a times, but He held on till His mission was fulfilled, so we could be saved from ruin, His life for ours, to show how He values our life more than His own, no matter how low we have fallen. At johanpeters.in are 27 audios, prophecy bites of 2 to 4 minutes, 90 some pamphlets on many subjects. There are several short books available on how things will soon unfold. A Man of Sufficient Stature Part 1 and Part 2, which are 2 short booklets. All downloads are free, no cookies, and no info requests.